Much. Oh wait, you guys hold mics like me too?
Yeah.
We're
I
all
mean, normally.
delusional and think we're on MTV. Alex Kazemi hereby requests Josh Oval for collaboration with the Internet is Dead, Dead podcast. Please draw us be a guest on the podcast. We miss you. Who's Josh?
Well, thanks for coming on. Someone was messaging me, Philip was messaging me being like, Alex wanted to invite you to like the reading that you had, or yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna kill myself because I didn't get to go. I was so sad about it.
Oh, I'm so grateful that you even considered coming. It was so weird. That was like my first time ever in New York City ever in my life. So it
Whoa,
was like acid, ketamine. Like it was
really?
insane. Like not like on those things, but it was so crazy. Like it's such a visceral experience being in that city for the first time, as you guys probably know. Where did you guys grow
Yeah,
up?
grew up in like the suburbs outside of Philly, but we
Oh,
both
cool.
like just
Okay.
moved to New York, like literally, like I moved in like a month ago, and Brittany moved like last
Like
week
two, like
later.
3 days ago.
Yeah.
But did you guys go there in like your childhood and stuff? Like,
Like not real.
not
We would go to Philly a lot, I feel like, because that was like the big city.
definitely. It's definitely so surreal, like being there. And it was literally like a New York minute. Like it moves so fast. I was like, the
Yeah.
East Coast is insane compared to the West
Did
Coast. Yeah.
you like New York? Like, do you have a good time?
I think I did. Like, I think because of the circumstances, it was very magical, and like it's really special to like go there for the first time to, celebrate the book that I was working on for so long. And I went to some Broadway shows, so I had fun. Like I liked
Aw.
it, but it moves so fast. So like, yeah, I definitely need more time there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever come back, we'll
Yeah,
hang
no, for
out. Let
sure.
us know.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. Do you guys know of Car Crash Collective?
Yeah, no, we
Yeah.
love them. Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
me
excited
too.
to because we were supposed to hang out with Britt and Aaron last time we were here, but then like plan just fell through.
Oh
So
God, they're so cool. When you guys do hang out with them, you'll love it. Yeah.
excited to meet Aaron when she moves here.
Yeah, super soon too. Yeah. Britt's having like real like heartbreak over it, 'cause they have such like an
Aw.
intense friendship, right? And she's moving, so yeah. But it'll be good
Yeah.
because they're gonna do one in New York. I don't know if I'm allowed to leak that, whatever. But
No, yeah. I might be
yeah.
reading at it. I might be
Oh,
reading at
great! Yeah,
it.
you definitely
You should
have to.
come.
It'll, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to. Yeah, I definitely want to. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like see our friendship in them because that
Yeah.
was kind of what we were
Oh.
having before like I decided that I was moving. I was like freaking out about Samira leaving, and then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm coming.
Yeah, it's so interesting, like, like intense female friendships are so wildly like discussed in like the teen media medium, like, but I feel like men have like platonic intense friendships like that too, like I explore in the book, and but yeah, that's so crazy, that's so cool that they're like a mirror of that for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and we were gonna like talk to you about that because I feel like that concept is interesting. Because I also saw that you had like that platform. What's it called? I wrote it down. Like the advisor,
Yeah, when
for
I
the
was a teenager.
letters.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
yeah.
thought that was really sweet because I feel like boys need that. Like for anyone who
Yeah,
doesn't.
much. Yeah, no, definitely. I think like they need it so much. Well, also, I love the name of this podcast, by the way. The Internet is Dead, because
Aw, thanks.
it is deader than dead. It is over. The Internet is gone. Social media is done. Like it's like this is all post, 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 everything, and
Yeah.
we're just like dealing with the aftershocks and the aftermath of like, okay, what do we do now? Because a lot of us like had these like dreams that were a part of like a world that doesn't even exist anymore. So like now we're all like battling this new like environment and e digital ecosystem that's just insane.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
really curious like what that looks like for you specifically because I know that your manuscript went viral when you were younger, like 17 or something, but
On
now you have no
Tumblr.
social media. So I'm
Yeah,
curious like what that has looked like
going
for
viral on
you.
Tumblr is so funny
Yeah,
also. Like
like it would go viral
yeah,
on
no, for
Tumblr.
sure. Like the earliest version, and like I also played like a lot of like Tumblr era stunts. Like I actually made a video of me putting a fighter fish on my tongue, like one of the characters does in the book, and was like, it was kind of that era of like shock Tumblr, So I was like playing into like trying to get reblogged and like all of that type of stuff. But yeah, MTV Books saw like the hype about it, and then I got the book deal, and then was kind of like became a developmental deal because I worked on it for so long. But yeah, at the time when I was a teenager, I did have social media. I deleted it in like the beginning of my 20s. Yeah, so I've been off for a while, like a really long time. But yeah, I had Tumblr, I had Twitter, yeah. Early Instagram, like when people would post like coffee and books. Do you remember that era? Yeah, like so that filter, yeah.
Wait, so why did you delete your social media? Or like, what was that like journey
So it
look
was
like for
directly
you?
correlated to like what it was doing to my brain as a writer. Like I saw so many cross contamination between the things that I would want to post and the things I would want to create. So like something that I would want to tweet was actually dialogue for a character, or something that I wanted to share on social media was actually like a review, or something was actually an interpretation that I wanted to like explore in a fictional scene. So I was like, okay, I have to like rechange my brain chemistry and like get these neural pathways, like redo this, because like I'm gonna be fucked if like there's cross contamination with my public ideas and my private ones. So it was really about that for me.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I feel like I have slowly, like, my creativity levels and just like the way my brain, like, at a time was like really good at like just like writing and like doing what you're explaining, what you did to reframe your brain or whatever. I feel like that is like what I was at, and now like going. Having gone more on social media, especially for the podcast, because I feel like I was kind of like less involved in it for a little bit, like even though I was super online as a kid. And like I can feel how like I literally like cannot write the way that I used to. So like I
But you
completely
can
get
go
what you
back to that.
mean.
Like you literally could. Like, but I understand that you got like when you're building a brand and building a podcast or building your image or things like that, it does feel like we're all required to like play the game in that way. But like as you can see, like I did play the game, but I did it in a way that was my way, you know? And I think that because of my own like sensory sensitivities to social media and things like that, and I do understand that if people can handle it and they're okay with it. But you will notice that if you do take breaks and stuff, that you will go immediately back to that clarity that you used to have. Like it's still there. Trust me. Like I know so many people who are like, why do I like why do my thoughts feel so coalesced? And like, why do I hear like my inner voice better? Like, you know, like, but it's that nullifying, like anesthetizing thing about like scrolling and like the opioid of the internet that's just like so intoxicating in this times because the world is so chaotic, like you know, so the billionaires really fucked us.
Well, I think a big hard part of it too is just like the building connections and also just like needing the internet to do what you're doing. Because I think you're in an interesting circumstance of like having blown up and then going offline, which is
That's
awesome. And like,
the dream.
like, that's the dream.
That is the vibe, yeah.
And I'm like also curious how that looks like of like now navigating a career without using social media, and like do you ever feel like you're
It
missing
drives
out on
people crazy. It
connections?
drives people crazy. Like people, like it definitely like upsets like certain people who want to collaborate or things like that, or certain podcasts won't have me on because they're like, we can't do a collab post. Like a lot of people do like exist in the way of those statistics. But definitely because I read Cal Newport at a young age, like the Deep Work book and understanding all of that type of stuff, I really just needed to kind of create and follow that path. But I feel like more people could do it. Like I just feel like we're just all in this like groupthink idea that we can't survive without it. And like it's such like a in like occult terms, like there's this thing called like egregore, which is like a belief system that we're all kind of subscribing to that is kind of toxic or demonic in a way. And it's like pushing us back from like spiritual ascension. And I feel like that, I just like want like a mass deletion day. You know, like I just want like I just feel like we could all go back, but at the same time we couldn't. And obviously, like what's your guys' like age group? Like what year were you born?
We're both 24, so
Oh
we're
my God, wow. So like you guys really grew up with only nor knowing this and like the internet. And so how old are you guys like in like Tumblr 2013 era?
like 13, 12.
So did the aesthetics of that era like penetrate your subconscious minds at all? Like, did you guys know about it?
Yeah, of
I
course,
was
like,
like,
I feel like we both were very online, and like Brittany was really on Stan Twitter, and
yeah,
I
my
was
thing
really
was
on
Stan Twitter.
Tumblr.
Like for like Five Sauce or the 1975 or
Oh my
Lana, like
God.
what was it?
like, okay, I was adjacent to like the Five Sauce stan Twitter, but I was on there for Fifth Harmony, Ariana Grande, and like YouTubers.
That is
Like,
amazing.
yeah, I
And it
like
was so fun. But I was like 11. I was in like fourth grade on
that's
there, like,
so
which was I
interesting.
think earlier than most. And then Samira was like, you
I
want to
was
say
like,
yours?
yeah, like I was like One Direction Five Sauce, but then also very much like the 1975, like Skins, like that whole
Okay,
era.
yeah. So
Like,
you know that
yeah.
like that glamorization of like the
Yeah.
editorialized teenager and like, you know, like Rookie Meg and like taking pictures on 35mm cameras and Petra Collins and like all of that.
Yeah.
That's like
Yeah.
exactly what my book was like a response to. Like the
Yeah.
antithesis. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, like kids today being like romanticizing, wishing that they were like a kid when Tumblr was a thing in like
yeah, for
2012.
sure. And even like especially when I was a teenager, like the fetishization of like Y2K and 90 nostalgia was kind of just really starting. And because it was like only 10 years ago, because I was like in high school in 2010. So it was like it's really crazy to think of how with TikTok, like how we're in a time period where people could see like a screenshot from a movie and like want to go buy that outfit and then not know what that movie is. You know, it's like it's so weird that kind of ecosystem we're in right now.
Yeah, and also just the TikTok romantification of just like our era of like the Tumblr era and like what
Oh,
we
I
grew up through
know.
and like how everything just like circles back on itself of like everything's just romanticizing like the last thing that happened.
Exactly, but I think it probably has to do with like the world climate and like people feeling a sense of discomfort. So it's like way easier to be like, wait, like I what like the world seemed like a better place when it was just like, you know, Girls by the 95 1975 just came out and like Lana just came out and like oh wow like we all have those like feelings of association of like wow like take me back there, but it's like that joy is available right now, but we create that fantasy, like that's the trick of nostalgia, right?
Yeah. I'm curious, like, what, like, kind of going or like jumping to your book a little bit, like, with that appeal of like Y2K, 90s aesthetic, and all that. Like, do you think it is like something deeper than just nostalgia of like, because
Oh,
obviously, like,
totally.
yeah, in the book you're making like you're talking about like consumerism and like it being like overloaded and stuff like that, but then
Yeah.
that like still exists today, obviously at like a more intense level than ever, except now it's like through TikTok shop instead of like
Yeah,
through like
for
a
sure.
TV commercial, and it's like somehow that feels so much purer than like what it is now.
Like the because it's so interactive, right? It's like almost like if my characters like jumped into the TV, that's the kind of world that like Gen Z is like growing up in, right? Like you have so much interactiveness with the consumerism, but I think that same sort of like material claustrophobia of like the earth like denseness of this world like that we feel like when we are too embodied with pop culture and materialism and consumerism and surveillance culture and all this type of stuff, like I think the desire to escape is the same thing. Obviously, it's like so much worse now because it's just like, oh my God. Like, you know, there used to be like so much alarmist media about like, oh my God, like kids today, like in 1999, are seeing Burger King ads like every 5 minutes or something. You know what I mean? Like all that type of stuff. And then you think of like the amount of images someone consumes in a day to day is insane.
I kind of want to like dial back a little and like hear about what like led you to these ideas and wanting to explore them. Like, what was important to you in shaping you like as a person growing up and as an artist and like just like your career in general? Like, what has that kind of journey looked like?
I think like obviously it's like always really came from like a sense of alienation and like feeling like different. Like I felt like when I was a teenager, I couldn't really like relate to why people were doing the things that they were. So I wanted to go out and explore and understand it. And then also because I felt like my brain like just couldn't like handle things like about technology and things that other people could. Like you know, so it made me feel like this instinct to be like, okay, I need to like explore these themes and understand what they're doing. And that's why I had this like alarmist attitude. Because even when I was a teenager, my friends would be like, you know, Alex, like you feel that way about Instagram, but we don't feel that way about Instagram. Instagram does that to you, but it doesn't do that to me, you know? So it was just like kind of like a whale call. I'm sure like your podcast, like find the others, you know? Like it's that feeling of like, what are we all doing here? How are we all connecting. And I guess like my drive in my career in a young age was probably rooted in like a feeling of inadequacy and wanting like approval and validation and wanting to feel like I could accomplish the things that I wanted to because people told me that I couldn't. So like it was running on that treadmill for a really long time, and that was really painful.
Wait, so were you like online when social media became a thing, or like, because I know obviously your posts like went viral on Tumblr, so were you involved in like communities online?
Well, I think like I had like a Facebook account in like 2006, and I think like something that really sort of traumatized me by the end of my teens was seeing that like the private moments that I had growing up were public, and there was a sense of shame and embarrassment. So in my 20s, I was like, okay, I'm gonna protect this and I'm gonna keep this private because I saw how much I changed from 13 to 20. And I know like Ivy Wilk always talks about this, like how people always tell her that, like, protect yourself, like, you're so vulnerable, protect that part of you. And she's not really into that, but I really felt like, okay, I need to be protective because I already had sort of seen what the early social media days had done in my teens. And I was like, okay, like, this is embarrassing. I associate humiliation and shame with this. And growing up online is so fucked.
So with like growing up and just like your whole like getting into writing, getting into like creative stuff, I'm curious where spirituality also then played a role, because I saw that you wrote the book Pop Magic, and I didn't know that you wrote that until I was researching you, and I was like, wait, that's insane, because like all the criticism on that book is like people being like, oh, he's just talking about celebrities the whole time. And I thought that was like so
That's so
interesting,
funny.
because like I feel like that's kind of what we also are super fascinated by, is just like that, like, oh, like this human's a celebrity, and like kind of this fascination with like what that means. And also like I'm curious how that plays into spirituality for you.
Yeah, for sure. Like I felt like I really hit like a rock bottom with like nihilism and hedonism as a teenager, and I wanted to figure out a spirituality that would work for me. And I was just like, you know what? Like, let's try witchcraft. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's do this. And so I had studied magic with a K, the occult, New Age stuff, and I had realized that like a book that, I wish had existed about the topics of magic and alchemy and manifesting and bringing order to chaos and all these things. Like, I wanted to create the book that I wanted to see in the world, but I also wanted to like push the buttons of the occult community because they're very like against, pop magic being popular and it should be gatekept. And so I made it very like 1-800 pop magic, and like this, like, look how I did this. And like, I made it like a kind of pop art performance project. But like, the reason I needed it was just because it like founded me at a time when I needed spirituality. But I feel like Kabbalah, which is like the next level past what paw magic would be, I guess, is like more powerful for me because it's more about the inner alchemy and changing yourself versus I want these things. And like a kind of manifesting secret is if that you desire something with service and like it, like there's a level of like sharing involved in it, you're more likely to receive it.
Wait, so are you Jewish, or are you just into Kabbalah?
I'm like fake Jewish. Like
Okay,
I'm
cool.
like
I was gonna
Jewish in the
ask.
way Madonna thinks she's Jewish,
And like the
like
way that Ariana Grande like would wear
yeah,
like the red ring.
exactly. Yeah,
Yeah, the
yeah.
string.
Ariana was really into Kabbalah, and she even says to this day that like that's how she manifested a lot in her life.
Well, that's
No, because
crazy.
I remember the like surge of celebrities wearing like the red string, and that was like so interesting, because I'm Jewish, but like I wasn't into Kabbalah at the
Oh,
time. I like,
you should
but
study it because it's different than the like uniformative, Jewish traditions. It's the spiritual elements of those things. And a lot of the things that you guys like have seen about like manifesting, scripting, New Age stuff, all that stuff is derived from the Kabbalah. Like everything about magic with a K, modern witchcraft is from Judaism and Kabbalah and the Zohar and the Torah. So it's like people, that's the root source.
No, yeah, I have a bunch of Kabbalah books in my living room
Oh,
right now. I'm
hell
like,
yeah. Yay. That makes me
No.
so happy.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know that much about it, and I like want to know more about it because I am really interested in it. We should do that
Yeah,
together,
you go. Yeah, you should
Brittany.
definitely. You should. Yeah, and
Well,
like,
I feel like we accidentally do a lot of it.
Yeah,
Like,
without
I
like
really
knowing
do
that
think
that's
we
what it
do.
is.
Oh,
Yeah.
of course. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it makes me really happy that there's such a discussion in our current culture around like occultism and astrology and magic, and like just so that people can even have like a glimmer of hope. Like, even if people don't believe in astrology, like it's still a beautiful way of like using language to organize our personality traits or understanding parts of ourselves or like archetypes or reoccurring themes and patterns, you know? What
Yeah.
are the signs?
I was just gonna say, because I saw in like some interview that you did that you said you were a
Yeah,
Cancer.
a Cancer man.
I'm
You
a
know what that means.
Sagittarius. I'm an
Oh,
Aries.
great. Oh,
Yeah.
two fire signs. You guys are
Yeah.
destined to be homies.
Yeah, no,
Damn.
I always love every Sag I meet.
Oh,
Oh,
I'm
I'm
a
a Sag. But I also get
Sag
along really
moon.
well with Cancer men, so hey.
Same. Wow, what's up? Wow, that's
Both of our
crazy. Yeah.
dads are Cancer men. My
Cancer men are
ex was a Cancer
crazy.
man.
They're
Yeah.
crazy.
They
They're
literally are, yeah.
tortured. Have you guys watched the FX show Adults? Are you guys on the hate train?
No, I
No.
haven't watched it.
Okay, it's so interesting. Like, no one has watched it, but it's like a thing and out in the world. It's
Okay,
like this,
sorry.
it's so crazy. Like, it's so crazy. Like, I was at like a restaurant bar and I was like talking to the young guy and I was like, "Oh, have you seen Anora?" And he's like, "I have no idea what that is. I watch YouTube shorts."
Okay,
And
well,
it's
of course
like,
we've seen Anora.
that's
Like, that is
yeah, I know you
you,
guys
but
have, but like,
yeah.
it's just so crazy to think of like how fractured and decentralized culture is now. Like, there's like all these different multiple billions of realities that exist right now. Like, someone just told me about some artist internet girl and she has like 1.5 million followers. And I'm like, I've never heard of this person.
Yeah.
That
Yeah.
happens like every day times 100.
No, I was gonna ask, because I saw like that you had said somewhere that you don't think there's a pop culture right now.
I don't. I really
Yeah.
don't.
And I'm curious like what you think the downside to that is, if there is a downside, or like,
The downside is discoverability of really cool artists and
yeah.
people and podcasts and movies and like look at like Peter with like rachelarmond.com. Like, you know, it's like that should be like distributed by like Neon or A24 or something.
Yeah, it's
And
actually kind
it's
of crazy.
yeah, it's so crazy how that movie, like, even if you don't have a context of like New York City art scenes or Times Square or anything, it gives you like a complete snapshot of where people's heads are at.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it is like very interesting too, because I feel like so much of the way I like learned connecting with people and just like growing up, especially being on Stan Twitter, it was like, oh, okay, like we're bonding through our interests. And like, it doesn't feel like that, like, does the same thing anymore.
That's so interesting you say that. That's because that's what I really tried to go for bat for with the boys in my book and showing that they bonded over the monoculture and the MTV culture. And that's used to be like what it kind of used to be. Like,
Yeah.
oh, you're in a
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson shirt. I understand you. You know, like they're like, show their symbols. And I talked about this on the Strand at the Strand. And I think that what the monoculture is now is politics. And that's why people identify with it so much is because they're like, okay, well, if there's no like goth or emo or all these subcultures, like I'm gonna make my identity into red or blue, and that's how I'm gonna exist in the world, and that's how I'm gonna meet people, and that's how that like that's gonna be my life.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, no, I definitely like that monoculture, and also even just like that like era of like gatekeeping and like the superiority complexes of like, oh, like I, you know, listen to this and you listen to that. Like, I
Yeah,
feel like that
yeah.
doesn't even exist anymore because everyone's
Yeah.
just like,
Should we bring back
yeah.
gatekeeping? I'm kind of a
Maybe
gatekeeper.
we should, honestly.
I
I
don't let
like
people who come over like and watch movies, they're not allowed to log them on their letterbox or like they're not allowed back to my house.
I think that's really funny. But I look back on like being young and I'm like, oh my God, I was gatekeeping Ariana Grande. Like, how was that real?
Yeah.
Like, how
Wait, so
was that
you're like
happening?
early Ariana days,
Oh,
like
I
Pink
was early
Champagne.
on that.
She was
Like, I was,
early.
dude, wait, did you say, what'd you just say?
Pink
Yes,
Champagne, like
literally,
that early.
yes. Oh my God.
Oh my God. I love that you just said that out loud to me. I was literally there for Put Your Hearts Up. Like I was
Oh my
there.
God,
I was
wow. I had
there.
that with Taylor Swift. I was like early, early Taylor
I
Swift, like
literally thought I
early.
misheard you. I was like, no way he just said pink champagne to me.
Yeah, no, I definitely I dabble in the culture knowledge, and I have a lot of friends
Yeah.
who are like really stands and obsessed with things. What do you guys think of like what Brat Summer became and like how it was like reduced to a meme and like that whole thing? Because it did start out as like an if you know, you know thing, and then it became like this like weird thing.
Well, that's what's
Yeah.
interesting is that's, I feel like, been like a recent, more universal thing that's like actual, like, okay, everyone's kind of a part of this thing, even if you like aren't tapped in, like it's reached you.
Yeah, but
But
even
I don't, because
then,
my one roommate didn't know about Brat until way later on. Yeah. And like she didn't know
exactly.
about Addison
Interesting.
Rae.
But
Like,
that's the thing. It's like we're in these prisons and we think that they're the world and they're not. Like I could
yeah.
go down the street and go up to someone and be like, "Yo, do you know Brat Summer?" They'd be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" But you
No, come
couldn't
on.
do
Like
that
they
with
know
Britney
Brat
Spears.
Summer at this point,
No,
though,
they
don't
might
you
not.
think?
They might not. That's what's so crazy about it. It's like
Put me with
we
a guy who doesn't know about Brat Summer.
I feel like I don't know. I feel like there's just like so many people who like because the internet lets them like have their Twitch streamers and like their Spotify curated playlists, like you can literally just live in like an igloo, an isolated, filtered algorithm world and not have to
Yeah.
know anything, you know? Like we think that everyone is like buzzing and calling Addison Rae the new Bjork and Madonna, but maybe that's just because of the circles we're in or the people we know versus that's not the world, you know?
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it is also weird to think about because it's like, oh, we're probably in very similar internet circles,
Yeah,
but and like
totally.
our like that certain circle we're even talking about is like very broad in this way
Yeah.
where it can like make you definitely just like feel like you are talking to like the general
AI?
public. No, I'm just kidding. Or
Yeah, no, for
that.
sure.
Yeah.
That's totally true. Yeah. Like the Honor Levy Brock profile, like that, like, you know, like that could have been like to, you know, people we know might have seen that, but like other people might have not, you know?
Yeah. No, it's very interesting because I also wonder a lot just with us doing like this podcast and talking to a lot of people about like their internet backgrounds. I'm like, how much of it are we actually covering? You know what I mean? Like, how big of a picture are we actually getting, even though we're talking to like all these different perspectives? Like, how enclosed is it still?
That's so interesting, right? Like it's like you're like, okay, am I still just curating a version of the reality that I know to be kind of thing? That's so, oh,
Yeah.
that's a head fuck. Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, this is scary.
Well,
This is
also, I wanted
racheloremond.com
to ask you, like, because we were talking about pop magic, and I like wrote this down because I read the description of the book, and I thought this was so interesting. The warlocks and witches of the past had their potions, their tarot cards, and their
now.
superstitions. Today's magician has a laptop, an iPhone, and Twitter. And I'm curious how you feel these things compare with like spirituality and manifestation,
Well,
like.
I have like a theory that I think that you can like create angels and like entities on like AI and like that you can
Wow.
like in the way that you know like if you watch like a movie where like someone's talking to like a genie, right? Like it's like an invisible force, but now the invisible force can like can communicate to you. So you could be like program like an angel, your guardian angel, like if you're sad and be like, you know, I'm going through this right now and like can you tell me from like my higher self or like who like the things that I'm trying to be or like the values I'm trying to embody, and they'll do that. So it's like I think
That's
AI
really
man
weird.
magic is like the kind of where we're headed. Yeah, like yeah, like you know, like in Hercules, like the statue comes to life and talks to you. It's like that's where we are now, especially with AI voice.
That's
Yeah, that's
so
so crazy.
weird. No, because my friend was just telling me, like, who's very, very, like, spiritual and, like, not, like, using the internet really, like, as a tool. But she was telling me recently that, like, people have been using like ChatGPT for tarot, and like it's actually like a really good interpreter, which is so interesting because it's like, yeah, it's just like using all the resources online and like all the other
Because
like
I think it's
tarot
like a
people.
spirit, like possessing it, like and speaking through it. Like I think like in the way that they use like bodies as vessels and like because like a tarot reader is usually like channeling, right? They're
Yeah.
like AI, like the spirit. Like what if the spirit can go like on ChatGPT and like send you a message from your like dead, deceased relative. Like, I feel like we'll see that soon. I don't know.
Wait, that's also so weird because like the thing about AI is like, oh, it's like that's the issue is like it's not human, it's not like it doesn't have emotion, stuff like that.
So
Like,
interesting. Yeah,
so
you're
that's
right.
really interesting to think about if that's like just like a factor no one has even like thought about, you know?
A Zoomer told me recently that like if you like talk to AI, you're using like all this like water in the same environment thing. Like,
I
and I was
saw
like,
that on Twitter.
oh, they did?
Or I saw that on like
Oh,
Twitter that it like,
okay.
yeah.
Is it real?
I
I
think
think
it's,
yeah.
yeah.
That's really dark.
But also, I've seen like crazy stuff on like, because anytime I use like any sort of AI thing, I always like say please and thank you because I'm like
Oh, I love
afraid
that.
of it.
It's very
But my
Canadian.
boyfriend
Whoa.
always sends me things where like AI experts say that like AI works better by threatening it and by saying like please and thank you, you're like it's like not. Like it's like worse for the environment somehow, and it also like
Oh,
diminishes the
that's weird.
effectiveness of
That's so weird.
AI.
That's so weird.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah, no, it's so, at least like I think like one thing that at least everyone can bond with about like living in this era, like, because I think like everyone like wakes up every morning and be like, why did my soul choose the 2020s? Like, why am I here? Like, what are we doing here? Why is life so challenging? I think like at least one of the like silver linings is we can like all bond over like seeing the craziness if we can. I feel like the people who are like really benefiting off of this era are probably the billionaires and like the TikTokers, or like I don't even know anymore. But like it's just like crazy to think about like how, I don't know, like what did you guys think of the Eras Tour and that phenomenon?
Samira, this is all you.
Yeah, well, I went. Well, because my thing was I was like a Taylor Swift fan like back like when like Fearless first came out, like I like had all her CDs with like the little lyric booklets and I like loved it so much, but I never like I just didn't have money to go to concerts growing up. So I just never went to see her in concert. And so then when the time Eras came around, like that was the first concert that I was like her first concert where I was, you know, I
Yeah,
had a
I think
job and I could like afford to go. And so I went and yeah, but it's just like so crazy. Like just like the crowd at that concert was like an insane thing because there were like people who grew up with her, but then also people who like knew her from TikTok, which is really
Oh yeah, no,
weird.
it's
Imagine
you don't
knowing
think it'll
Taylor
ever
Swift
be
from
that way again,
TikTok.
right?
Yeah. And that's just concerts these days, though. Like, that's why concerts are so expensive
Oh, it's
because
so
it's
terrifying to like
crazy.
the queue. I didn't grow up with like the queue thing, like of like
Yeah.
that is evil. Like, I'm not doing the queue. Like, I'm like, I will just like suffer and pay more to not do the queue because I can't do it. But yeah, that was lots of hearts were broken from the like exclusivity of the Eras Tour and things like that. I went, I really enjoyed it. I've actually met her. So like
Yeah, I saw that on your like
yeah.
description of your book. What was
Yeah,
that
she
like?
nice. Yeah, she was so nice. But like
We have the same birthday, fun fact.
oh, I love that. She was so nice, and also like in this way where like it was like she made me feel like I was like the only person in the world. Like, I've never had a person talk to me in that way. And then I was like, okay, like I understand now, like the Taylor Swift like phenomenon, or like how she operates in the world. But like I respect her as like a businesswoman and an artist. I personally like I really like everything she's done. Like, I don't think like there's anything that I've ever disliked. But I think like the reason I mentioned the Eras Tour is like I think that like this idea of like physical reality and online reality merging, and like how like a lot of the mania around the Eras Tour was around like seeing TikToks and reels, and FOMO was like at its height, right? And I don't think it'll ever be that way for her again. Do you? I don't
I
think
don't
it's
think so.
possible even.
No, I have like, or I had a theory that I thought the Eras Tour would be just like her last tour and she'd be
Wow, that's
done.
fascinating.
Yeah.
That's very her to like go out with a bang like that, you
Yeah.
know?
Well, I'm just
Like,
like, how do you top that?
well, that's interesting though, because like my perception, I think, of the Eras Tour is like a little different because I'm like, wait, like this feels like very like normal in a way. Like it feels like everything I grew up watching like all the time and like almost what we're in now too. Like I feel like life is the Eras Tour, but like genuinely with like New York, like moving to New York, like it feels like that in a smaller way of like this weird internet interconnection. Like internet is real life here, it seems like. like in the certain groups. You know what I
Yeah, it's
mean?
totally like you guys could go to a party in the scene that you're in and like be like, "Oh, I've seen you on that person's Instagram." Like it's almost like you have like glasses that can like see like their profile above them or something like that, you know, like 'cause there's just so much of like that online. And then I guess like with like the Substack scene too, like people will like write about their night. I mean, like I'm sure Substack has caused drama in New York City
Yeah.
before, you know. It's like
Yeah.
so it's almost like that's actually a really great point. Like you're talking about like the currency of like something physical then becoming digital and like tokenized is like a big part
Yeah.
of life in New York right now.
Yeah. And it's also weird, I think, watching or just experiencing, because I like don't think I knew that for a little bit, that that was really even happening. Like I was kind of detached.
Yeah,
And
that's
then
a nice
like
place to be.
yeah, it was awesome. But like slowly learning that just like from like talking to people and like researching different people for this podcast and stuff like that, and just like getting kind of more into like online writing scene and stuff like that. It's weird because it's like, oh wow, wait, like we didn't leave Stan Twitter. Like Stan Twitter like just kept on growing, and like Stan Twitter's real life.
Exactly. And also like the like cult fame of the figures in New York is something that I find to be so fascinating. Like how so like to some people these people could be actually celebrities, and then to someone on the street they could be like, I have absolutely no way to ID them. But if you're on a certain corner of the internet, you're like, oh, I see that person all the time, or I hear about them all the time. But then it's like so fucking niche and small.
Yeah, that definitely plays into a lot of the nostalgia for just like before it was like that, before there weren't like before when there were centralized celebrities.
Totally. And I think one of the reason that people like fixate on people like Paris Hilton or Britney Spears or Lindsay Lohan is because of the they will always exist in that the memory of the centralized era of okay, radio, tabloids, magazines, TV. And I think the kind of ascent that a star could get to back then, I don't even know if it's possible. Like a very few people have even eclipsed that. You know, like I guess like Chapel, but kind of became a household name, but is she really a household name? Like you don't know. It's confusing.
No, that is super interesting. And also just like the like it makes a lot of sense, like the like Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and people like that becoming like an aesthetic, and it being this like vintage aesthetic that like is now just like on these blogs and stuff like that, and it like gives this like energy to post
Feeling.
them and like yeah.
It's a vibe. Like it's like
Yeah.
how, yeah, it's like how people like are buying the camera, like the point and shoot cameras from like 07 and 06, and they're like taking pictures of the club and like putting the timestamp 07. It's like this
Or
is
this isn't a
fucking
point and shoot, but
this is
it
cosplay. Like this is yeah, point and shoots are cool. Like I'm always for
yeah.
them, but like it's very much like no different than like anime conventions. Like you're like it's like a cosplay culture right now.
It's really weird. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was also
but it's
curious.
there's
Oh,
pain
sorry.
in it. Yeah, no, continue, continue.
I was gonna shift a little bit. Did you have something more to
Yeah,
say about
no,
that?
go on, go on. Of
I was gonna
course.
ask because you mentioned like Peter, and I was curious because you made like an older like a Snapchat movie a while ago.
Oh, wow, deep cut.
So I was curious like what it's like to witness like new internet cinema happening, because I feel like you kind of did that like before that was happening, right? Like
Yeah, definitely. I think I definitely did. I mean, it's like documented as like honestly the first Snapchat movie, like in like a lot of like articles and things like that. And it was really about like me watching the medium of like it was inspired by Amanda Bynes and like people watching like in real time, like just young women or women destroy themselves, like interpret that, or like kind of like what Lorde says, like you can watch from your window, you know what I mean? Like I like that lyric. And so like I was kind of thinking of like that Bella the internet girl, you know, Bella McFadden internet girl, and now she's like a Depop star. I wanted to kind of create like a fake narrative and a movie script in real time, and people really thought it was real. Like people thought she was having this breakdown and that she was going to cut off her tongue, and like there was all this alarmist stuff. And I'm happy to see like how it's evolved and grown, but
Because watching it now, I'm
definitely.
like, oh, this like ma this would make so much sense if someone made this right now. So it's funny.
Definitely. And I guess it was just like a way to kind of express, like, again, it was like that alienated feeling of being like, everyone I know is creating reality TV of their lives on their little Snapchat hubs, and I'm not willing to do it. Like, don't didn't wasn't this like a Ariana's like Moonlight Bay era? Like
Oh my God.
she
Yeah.
was like
Oh
compulsive
my
about
God. Dude, it was
Snapchat.
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
she was like compulsive about Snapchat at this time, and it's like that just be it became so normal for us to like show our lives. So then I was thinking of mental illness and like how if someone is inside of something and they're documenting something, you know, are people laughing at them? Are they humiliating them? Like I did it from a place of empathy, Cancer Man.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious then, looking at how internet cinema has evolved, like what is that like for you? Like, what are your like, do you have any thoughts, like just in general, about like watching that transform and
Well,
like
like
the
I
future of it,
prefer
maybe?
RachelOrmond.com over the code. Like, if we're gonna
Oh,
talk about cinema, like
okay.
that's definitely like a movie I prefer. I think I think it's interesting. I think like we'll probably see it even more integrated. Like, I think like the CEO of Disney was saying that they want to make the live action Hercules like mirror the flick rate of TikToks or something.
Oh my
So like
God.
I think we might see movies that are
What?
like moving.
Like, what does that mean?
That would like
I don't even know.
I would just my brain would break. Like I don't even know how I
Yeah.
could like it's already so much and like so I think like we'll probably see that. I mean, what could possibly be after TikTok? I mean, like we thought Periscope was like whoa and then now it's like then TikTok came so it's like what the fuck is what is the next platform? Like what is after
Yeah.
this? Like could
Maybe
we
just
be
like
at the
destroying it
peak?
all or something. Yeah.
Like, do you think this is the peak of the social media medium?
We've talked about this, like, what was, because we used to have this one conversation, which was like, I feel like part of our motivator for wanting to make this podcast was this one conversation we used to have where we were like, what is coming next? Do you remember, like, because I'm trying to remember what the thought actually was.
What was going to come next with like everyone reaching a breaking point of like how things currently are and just getting like so fed up with it and so over it and like it just feeling like it's not sustainable. Like, and I
And
feel like
X
we've
is
talked,
totally demonic. Like, it is so
yeah,
evil. Oh my
it's
God.
bad.
It's so scary. And like, I think also like a big thing that was is about me like avoiding the internet, like probably from like an intrusive imagery OCD kind of point of view, is just like I saw so many things online as a child and a teenager, like against my own will. And so like it felt like pop-ups or gore or and it really like to this day like scarred me. And I think that's also a part of like my like not like church lady conservative mentality about it, but like this kind of like avoid the screens, kids. Like it's because it's like it I have like early developmental trauma with it.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like there has to be a return in some way to like what feels good, you know? Like, I think that that will happen in one way or
Do you
another
like Reddit?
eventually. Reddit's
I think Reddit mirrors like the early web, like message boards,
Yeah,
X, not
definitely.
a lot of, you know, stuff. And I think it truly comes from a desire of people to connect and communicate and bitch and gossip and be mean and things like that. But I find that, yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like an, I feel like what, I don't, I'm trying to think of like in my memory, what was the most like idealistic social media age? I feel like, was it 2013? I don't know. Like maybe that
Well,
was like tolerable. Vine was kind of tolerable in a way.
Vine
I don't
was,
know.
Vine and like Twitter in combination, I felt like was such like a, and I'm definitely biased because I was so on Twitter. I honestly didn't like find Tumblr as like community oriented as Twitter, but I just don't think I was on it in the same way. Like I was witnessing it and witnessing like the culture of it, but not like participating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think like a lot of for people who were like teenagers on Tumblr, it was like kind of like their bedroom wall. Like, you know, like they
Yeah.
were like, oh my God, a screenshot from the Virgin Suicides, that's me. Like, you know, it's like they were just like
Yeah.
everyone was like just developing their sense of how they see the world and they feel their, you know, a lot of queer people came of age on there and developed their sexuality through, you know, understanding the things they liked on there. So there was like all that kind of stuff that I felt like it has a lot of like heart for people about like I miss Tumblr, but I think again they're again it's trying to escape the antithesis of the really heavy digital ecosystem of right now. And also, like, isn't Instagram not even chronological? Like, can you guys even see your friends'
Yeah,
posts?
no, it's not.
No.
That's the issue is
That's
like,
horrible.
yeah, it's
It's
horrible.
really bad.
Like, as soon as they went chronological, because I watched that happen and I was like, this is horrible. And this just like actually ruined Instagram. And I can't believe it's never gone back because I feel like everyone hated it. But like, it's what's best for like marketing and
Because
business
it
and
used to be
ads.
like, okay, if I'm in the city and someone posts a sunset 2 seconds ago, I guess, are stories still chronological?
No, they're also an
Mine?
algorithm. I'm
What?
pretty sure.
I feel
That
like,
is
yeah, it's like based
evil.
on who watches them the most or something.
Oh my God. So people aren't even seeing content.
No.
Like it's so easy to just not see something.
That's so weird. And that's the pressure that like novelists and artists and people have today. Like, you know, we could have publicists and teams of people, but it's still like reliant on like word of mouth and like each person. Like, you have to like bring the product to the person like right up front. Like, you know, like rachelormond.com, like, you know, that they have a better luck getting it in theaters by them going direct and just building relationships with indie cinemas and in, you know, themselves, like in different cities, versus like, it's such a weird thing. But it's weird because it's like, as much as it annoys me, I do have to try to have like a radical acceptance of it, but it's so hard, you know?
Well, I feel like that is part of like the future of it, of like I think people are genuinely getting to realize that
We
you
have to
kind of
make
do just
peace
have
with
to
this.
like you have to like go in person and just like be a person in person. And like I don't know. Like obviously like we're still very internet controlled and like social media controlled and everything, but I do feel like I'm seeing more like, oh, like if I just like go to this show and talk to someone, like something will
Not in
happen.
Vancouver. People in Vancouver are so cold. Oh my God.
Damn.
Because Seattle and Portland and Vancouver, the Pacific Northwest. I mean, Seattle and Portland are nicer because like Americans seem to be nicer, but Canadians are like I know people, Canadians are known for like being nice and stuff, but like in Vancouver, there's like a distance and a coldness. And if you like try to talk to someone at a club, they'll be like look at you like you're crazy, you know. But you go to LA and like you can have conversations. But exactly what you're saying, like if you're in the right city in the world, anywhere that's not Vancouver, you could pro like that's the thing. It's like I find that people are looking for that kind of community. I mean, I guess like it's weird because it's like people can have really big dreams and ambitions, but it's like even like look at like an artist like Sky Ferrer, right? Like she deserves so much more than what she's given and what her how her label treated her and for her music to be launching out in the world. And you have people like Chappell who are like working with her producers and stuff and that honoring the aesthetic and homage. It's like this thing of like that discoverability issue, you know?
I was thinking, like, as we were talking about it, of like the old like forums and stuff like that, and like how it probably, I mean, it definitely was like more, I think just like the fact that it was more community based, but also like, and obviously they're still not monitoring on a lot of stuff today, but like back then, like the like lack of monitoring was crazy, like on
Oh God, it's
Tumblr and on like
horrifying.
old forums and stuff,
It's
like it was
horrifying.
wild. Like I was on like eating disorder forums, and like the things people could say there were like crazy, like that was allowed.
Well, even like child pornography was a huge issue. Gore was a huge issue. Like, it's taunting what the early internet is. And like, that's why I tried to juxtapose in the book, like with the violent scenes, with the way that they would go on the internet and be like, this is directly correlated, this numbness and desensitization, because I was really scared as a teenager when people would have like gore blogs. And I'm like, I'm not fucking looking at that. So I was like, you know, realizing that, okay, Y2K internet was the seed of like the hyper accelerated reality we're in now. And this has only been what, 25 years, 20 years? That's not that much time. And if you think of how much everything moved so fast and changed, and I think like I have a lot of like hot tips I can give like listeners of like how to like get offline and like what they can do and like boundaries they can put because it's something I often think about. But yeah, like I definitely think that there's ways for you to get to that clear state you were talking about in the beginning of our conversation for sure.
Yeah, I like what you said about it, and like it's always there. You can always get back to it. Like, I feel like that's a really just like that itself is such a good reminder. I also had like a side thought. I feel like New York itself and how that kind of compares to just like a social media environment and what people are
Oh,
looking for, and like
wow.
being able to go like in person, like is such a motivator for like why I wanted to move here. But it's interesting because I think that like I came here with like just visiting and noticing it and being like, wow, New York is low key like the internet. Like this just reminds me of the internet. And I think
That's
that
so
that
interesting.
must like, 'cause it can't stay this way if like that's what people are craving. Like it can't just not exist in other places. Like that can't just like never happen. 'Cause I wonder if like since New York is so ahead of like the culture a lot of the time, if like it'll slowly disperse to everywhere, like at a point.
No, for sure. Like, I think that, like, what you just said, that the New York mirrors the internet, mirrors like a digital algorithm or a digital ecosystem. It's interesting to think of, like, is that just the people you know and the things that you know, or is there like another universe in New York City that we don't know about that is like an art scene and a culture scene, but because of what we associate with Dime Square culture, art, all this type of stuff, is that like the corner of the world that you're experiencing, you know? Because it's like, it's so strange. It's like, it's so hard to realize that. And I often think about that too, because when I go to New York or LA, I mean, I've been once, but I could feel so much camaraderie and artistic community and people who understood me versus here. Like, I feel like I don't have that at all. So it can be very intoxicating to dabble in those spaces, because I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I have friends for the first time or real people who understand me. And I don't really feel like I have that here at all, which informs my writing, I guess.
Well, I feel like even outside of like that scene, I'm even just thinking about like pockets of the internet. Like, I just feel like it in this way translates. Like, if you like the like gay community, the like I don't know, like the, like just like
Crypto
anything,
community,
like you can
TikTok
find
community.
it all, you know?
For sure. And oh, I get what you mean. Like you can turn the digital community that you have into a physical place in New York.
I guess that
Okay.
it does probably have to do a lot with, but I also like also like also was kind of saying what you were like interpreting it as too. It's kind of both of those things.
Yeah, you can't do that in the suburbs, I don't think.
I guess it is just like a like big place type thing, and like the internet is just everyone, so that's like what it is kind of. But before we run out of time, I do want to shift and like talk specifically about New Millennium Boys.
Oh, thank you.
Well, of course.
Well, yes.
But I was curious about, so like just to start off, like the whole banning thing. Can you explain that? Because I was looking online about it and I was like, wait, okay, like what does it even mean for this book to have been banned? Like what happened?
So when I handed in the manuscript and like they were deciding like we're gonna put this out and stuff, Simon & Schuster decided on a content warning. So like they like because some girls who read it who were not even like there were like what is it called? The kind of editor that you're not like a developmental editor, you're just like a copy editor. They were offended by like certain aspects of the process and were like, I guess like reported it or something, and they're like Simon & Schuster's like, well, we can't stock this unless there's a content warning. And then from there, it got on like a conservative book ban list from like Moms for Liberty or something like that. Like it kind of ended up there. And then they were like, we were getting calls from like libraries being like, we're going to drop this because we've gotten people reporting it. So I don't know. Like I guess certain stores wouldn't stock Pop Magic as well because of the Marilyn Manson blurb on the back, which didn't age well. But yeah, I guess like banned literature is like a way of saying like this has been we've tried to censor this and we've tried to control it.
So I was
Okay.
curious with that because I saw like the whole like the censoring thing. I didn't know if like there was like a separate like they weren't selling it for a time type thing that was happening. But I'm curious how like with it now being, because I saw on the cover of it that it says like this is the banned book they didn't want you to read, now uncensored, uncut, loaded with deleted scenes and bonus features. I'm curious like what it feels like for it to now be that
Feels
instead
good
of
that
a
it's the
content
real versions
warning.
out in the world. I'm happy about that. Thank God, because like it was kind of weird that they would blur certain words and then keep certain words like out, like not blurred, like they're censored and then uncensored, and then it's like I make a
didn't know that it
decision.
was like censoring words. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
Yes.
that could still like actually happen. Like I get like that happening like in the South.
They put asterisks.
Yeah, that's
That's
crazy.
crazy.
Yeah, they put asterisks, and I think the thing is that yeah, it's nice. And I think the deleted scenes are fun. I liked that I treated it like a special edition DVD. I don't think anyone has done that yet, like any author. Like it's so it should I hope it creates a trend. 'Cause I think like if you're gonna do a paperback release, like why not like add new content? Why not make it fun? Like why not do something new, like for fans of the book? Like, you know. So I thought I wanted to really do that. And the cover is like really an homage to like the kind of teen imagery of that era and like the movies of that era and stuff. So I thought that was cool. But yeah, before like I don't know when we're at time, but I do want to like say some like tips to viewers about like
No,
how
yeah,
to
you're good
yeah,
on
you're
time. We already
good so that
met.
like they can earn it, you know?
Okay.
Okay, no,
Because
I get that. Okay.
it's like, what do you mean at the end? Now you got it. Like now you have this because like people need to like listen, like attention spans. Like
No, I get that.
let's
Yeah.
make that's
Let's
changing.
let's get those
Attention spans up.
Patterns.
Oh,
Yes.
patterns on work.
Patterns
It's
out. Yeah.
patterns
Did
on
you guys
work.
read Honor's book?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
We loved it.
we
Yeah.
loved,
Oh,
yeah.
I know. It's so sad, like the way that I feel so sorry for the way that like people perceive her in such a misunderstood way. Like they think that she's like engineering all of this and all this type of stuff, but she's really not. She's pretty terrified of all of it. And it's interesting, like from knowing her and from how who I thought she was from like it's so interesting from like creating these like not like emotionally violent like visceral responses of how I think of people through the internet and be like oh like you annoy me or you come off this way and when you meet them and they're completely different and it's like oh weird you know it like kind of makes you think of like what propaganda like there's so much fucking propaganda about everyone everywhere.
What do you mean by like her what did you say, like
Like being
just like being
misunderstood.
behind like the whole thing,
People think
like
that
just you mean
like
with internet
she's
writing
like a
type stuff?
Machiavellian girl who's like controlling like everyone giving her attention and that like it's like all like a plan and she loves it but she doesn't you know
She's
she
just a girl.
yeah she's just a girl and that she really had that viral story in New York Meg and she found a literary agent like she kind of has like a very serendipitous ideal story for a writer or author like in getting she was like picked out and all that and I guess because of who her friends are and the scene she's associated with I think that like she gets a bad rap but she's really not anything like how the simulacra or the character that people create about her.
Yeah, I mean, from reading
Yeah.
her book, I feel like just the like it felt really like spiritual in a lot of
Me
moments to me.
too. I felt that.
Yeah.
It felt so spiritual for me.
Literally just like the certain like I think it's maybe the like almost childlikeness to the voice that she has, like that feels really really just like oh like you, and like the simplicity of like a lot of the like things she was saying that you knew just had like all these undertones to them,
It felt so
like
mystical for me. Like it felt like
yeah.
very like ethereal. Like it was and it was like I went in like completely blind because I'm like a pretty strong critic. Like if I like hated Rachel Orman, I would have eviscerated it to Peter, you know, like I'm not fake, you know? So it's like
Yeah.
I would be completely honest. And like I really do think my first book is special and like I wish her all the best in like how her career evolves and I think that it is interesting to think of like how we have this issue where like Gen Z isn't writing Gen Z stories. It's all about millennials in boardrooms interpreting Gen Z. It's like where are our Gen Z directed movies or Gen Z directed films or almost the same thing, but books or you know all those things like. It's an interesting issue.
Yeah. No, I like really like loved that book and it felt like spiritual and it also just felt like yeah, like I just felt very connected to it. Like I feel like everything that she was writing about, 'cause she like has like 'cause no one else like has written a book like that, you know, about just like growing up the way that like she did and the way that we all did. And I also like yeah, when reading New Millennium Boys, I like loved it so much. I
Oh,
have
thank
guys,
you.
let's be honest here. We like both thought that the other one had like read the book like
Yesterday.
yesterday and then we realized that we hadn't. So I like stayed up all night until like 4 a.m.
Oh my
reading
God,
finishing this book.
traumatic.
And
Because
it
she's a way
literally
faster reader than me. So I like didn't get all the way through it. I have it halfway read on my bed right now and I'm excited to finish it.
Hell
The
yeah.
ending is crazy. The second half half is like insane. But I like stayed up until 4 a.m. reading it, and it literally felt like I was like doing acid or something, just like
That's
staying
so
up that
cool.
late, like just like reading this book that's like an insane,
Oh, I
like
really
visceral, like
appreciate that.
nauseating, like with like the references and stuff and everything,
Yeah.
and just
You
like,
time traveled.
no,
It reminds me of
literally.
Honor's Book in a way, but like in this like grosser, like
Oh, yeah,
harsher way.
definitely. Like, I definitely think that, yeah, we both have a lot of like references, spam with references. Oh my God.
Well, it was really like fascinating, I think, just reading it like as being a girl, because it does feel just like 13, but for boys and taken to
Oh, that's
like
like the
a
biggest,
way
best
like
compliment.
greater
Thank you.
extent. And I
Thank
like
you.
love 13.
I love 13 so much.
It's
Oh
so
my
good.
God.
Sorry, what were you gonna
Like
say?
the understanding that like I really appreciated, because I'm like, this is like I feel like what I witness in men. Like this is like really
Absolutely,
humble that
right?
you've like written something about
Of
this. Like
course,
it's
because like
so
I would go
important.
through, like I grew up in that world and I would watch my friends like shift in front of their girlfriends, in front of their parents, and they'd be these just like animals with just boys. And I was like, okay, like something's going on. Like what, like that line in the book, like boys feed on the lust of other boys. It's like that's what I feel like is the primary thing. So I was always like anthropological about it. And because I wrote it like over 10 years, like my entire like emotional adolescence like was sealed into it. So like any heartbreak, any feeling, any discovery, like that's why it has that kind of Skins Tumblr quote existential type dialogue that makes it kind of stylized and surreal. But it's because it was honest. Like I don't think I can write about teenagers again though. Like that's done. Like fuck that. Like that is so emotionally taxing. Like working on that book was so like, it's not fun. Like, as you guys know, like as the dark scenes in the book, it's like it's not fun to like wake up to that, you know, like being trapped in that world. But yeah, I'm so happy because I really wanted it to be as revealing as 13, but for men, young
No, because
men.
it is like I feel like when you think of like there's like so many classic like girl movies like 13, like The Virgin Suicides, and there like isn't really that for boys like when it
Yeah, do
comes
you
to
guys know
books
about the
like
movie,
that.
right? Yeah,
No,
yeah,
we were gonna ask about that too. Yeah, that's so exciting.
No, and Britt's like working on it too, isn't she?
We wrote the screenplay together, yeah.
That's literally so exciting. Congrats about
Yeah,
that.
thank you. Oh my God, thank you for the positivity. Oh my God, you can't imagine. Well, you guys will experience it. Like the amount of hate that like awakens in people when you like are really going for your goals and dreams. Like the amount of people are like, oh my God, you're gonna be stuck in like 10 years of developmental hell. And it's like, but what if not? Like, you know, like what if, like, why can't we believe that things can be beautiful and move forward and be normal? Like, why do we have all this like intense cognitive distortion around everything? Like, you know, that's a part of manifesting is like unlocking and releasing all those limiting beliefs. But yeah, it's been an interesting reaction. I'm trying to like ignore it and just do the work. And I'm like, it's me. Like, I'll be on top of it. Like, you know, like it's me. Like, you
Well,
know,
also,
like,
like, it's funny, like, you saying that, because, like, from my perspective, I'm just like, what could be bad? What
that's
could
right.
possibly be
Exactly.
bad
It's so
about this?
beautiful, right? Like, it's like,
Well,
that's the
also, because
normal response.
it's being acquired by like the company that did like Spring Breakers, or like we're part of like Spring
Virgin
Breakers, like Virgin Suff,
Suicides.
American
Yeah. Spring
Psycho, which
Breakers,
is so,
American
that's like the
Psycho.
dream, like the teenage movie dream roster,
Yeah,
I
I
feel
had it on my
like.
vision board. Like, I had it.
Aww,
I
that's
literally
so
had it on my vision
awesome.
board. You guys should make one. Have you made one?
I used to, it's the year that Brittany, I don't know if maybe I told you this, but the year that we met, I made a vision board for
Oh,
that year.
really?
And that was the year that like my life like genuinely changed in a way
It's
that I
so
like
crazy.
don't
They're
think has
so
ever
powerful.
changed. It's
They're
crazy.
so powerful. Yeah, there's so many stories of people being like, I forgot I even put this on in my vision board and I ended up living in that house that I put the picture. Like it's just, yeah, I think
Whoa.
it's just really good to have that because it's like if we don't have that, like what do we have? It's just like nihilism and apathy and hedonism. Like that's the most like obvious response to this world. Like if you want to be a true rebel or contrarian, like be positive, believe, like you know, like have a positive, yeah, I'm a big believer in that. Yeah.
Wait, are you nervous about like the movie getting adapted, like, or reaching a wider audience or anything? Like, what are your thoughts about like what do you think's gonna happen?
I think it's gonna be be really, I mean, I believe in this like thing of like you have to like exist of it as if it already exists. So I was like, yeah, I think the movie had great reception. So I'm really happy about the way the boys were portrayed on screen, and I love the director, and it was
I love
so
the way the boys
fun.
were portrayed on screen.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah.
Wait, also too, which is like it being a thing that you wrote when you were 17 and it going viral, like how do you feel about just like the evolution of that and like dealing with that as an adult, like writing about teenagers as an adult instead of from that perspective of a teenager? Like how do you think the story changed from then to what it's gonna end up being in the movie?
Definitely really changed because I got distance, right? I was inside of the feelings and then I got distance and I grew. So it was actually the pandemic that really forced me. I had my folklore moment where like I was forced to truly confront, like, 'cause as you guys know, like as writers, like we have fragments of ideas everywhere and notes and things like that. And so I was really forced to slow down, go through all of my emotions and feelings. And the reason that it was really hard for me and why it took so long was because I didn't want to confront the emotional intensity behind everything and the darkness. Like it would make, I'd start it and then I'd be like, this is too much. I have to stop. So it was like, for some reason, the pandemic created this space for me to like go through my emotions and feelings in the book and the world and to build it in that way. It ended up being,
Big too, but I
I don't know.
like also just kind of want to shift to just like talking about like teenage boys in general because I'm like so fascinated by that. And I always like say, I'm like, when I have kids, I like want to have boys so that I can like fix it and like fix them. And I think like with this book and like with writing it and like writing the main characters, I'm curious like what parallels you see between like the teenage boys of Y2K and the teenage boys of today, and if you think we're better or worse off, because like I think like one of the most interesting things that the internet has done is brought like an awareness around everything that definitely wasn't there in the 90s. But I also feel like we're at a weird time now where it's like people are aware of the awareness and everyone's just like hyper analytical and hypercritical of everything, and it's like
It's more of like a private and public self more than ever. Yeah, I think that like I think teenage boys are probably worse or probably the same, like in the way that they're really attracted to things like Andrew Tate or like extreme masculinity online or like this idea of being contrarian to like what you said. Like there was all of this positive discourse of like how we're going to change and acknowledge things, but then people just want to be like aggressive, and this fetishization of Y2K masculinity is stronger than ever, and traditional masculinity. And like I find what I've noticed and what I've studied is like a lot of those guys are like really into Jordan Peterson and like all of this type of stuff as a way to kind of preserve what they feel like they missed out on from their older brothers or older uncles or how they associate with back then. We could grab a girl's ass or something, you know what I mean, or something like that. Like they associate that with freedom, right? And so I don't know, like I would hope that there are like a lot of positive discourse and there is evolution and change, but I think like again masculinity is so like can break at any second. And if you bring up these topics to young boys who are struggling with themselves, like, hey, validate your emotions or feelings, you're like, oh, that's fucking gay. You know, it's like that kind of stuff. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like teenage boys are always very corrosive. Testosterone might be corrosive. I don't want to say that. Like, I don't want to say that, but like, it's just I would hope. I'm sure there is a positive change, but again, like we always, it's like it's always that Gen Z archetype, right? Of like the feminist guy with like the pink nail polish ended up being the craziest rapist and the weirdest one, who would be posturing for feminism, so there's always this like contradiction. But yes, we do have to believe that there are normal guys out there for sure.
Well, it's weird, even like the like Jordan Peterson and like Andrew Tate arc and everything, and how that is now getting to a place where like that is seen as edgy and as seen as like alt of like, oh, like if you like those sorts of things, where it's like that's like not like that's like the norm, or not the norm, but that's like the opposite of that, you know?
And then they're like, oh yeah, we're different than the other guys.
like the
Where would you say
counterculture
like
of the
Cometown
counterculture.
exists in that space? Like what would you think of that?
That has been like such a fascinating thing to us, I feel like, because it's like
Yeah.
they're actually not like that, but then it's like, but you are also perpetuating that. It's interesting. I don't know.
I don't find like anything like it's not like subversive to use like racist slurs or like to be like use like really horrible terms to just be like, oh, throwback, like I'm free. It's like, no, like we don't speak that way anymore because we've just like evolved as humans and like moved past that. So like you just look really weird that you want to like preserve that language, you know? So when I did that in the book and why the boys all talk in this like casual, cruel way, it was like a direct commentary of like the correlation of like the Red Scare audience and being like, okay, I can satirize this through the 90s.
Well, something interesting that we witnessed a lot, like in Philadelphia, was like, because we found out about Cometown through our friends who were like in like, you know, like DIY alt creative scenes and stuff, who like
Who
really loved
also,
it, who
like, the
also,
one friend showed us Nowhere.
yeah, the one
And I
friend
like
showed us
the
Rocky
Nowhere.
movie?
Yeah, and I
Yeah.
like loved the homage. Like every time Nowhere was referenced in the book, it like made me so happy, because that I feel like was the entry point for us, like in a lot of things. Like seeing that movie like opened up like this whole new world for us. It
Yeah,
was
like,
really
oh, yay.
crazy.
That makes me so happy. Yeah.
But yeah,
Yeah.
like a lot of the people who really like Cometown were like, fuck Red Scare. Like that's like, it's like, you know, like this is
Yeah.
like fucked up, like they're evil. And I'm like, wait, but like what's the difference? Like
Yeah,
why?
because they're men, right? That's the difference.
And
And
they're like, but they don't mean it. But like, wait, but I don't know. Like, I mean, I know Adam Friedland like is actually like a leftist, right? I don't know,
yeah,
but
maybe. Like, I
who
mean,
knows?
I guess so. I think again, it's about for that generation of men, it's like this like throwback feeling of like, oh my God, bro, like we're like talking how we did in 06 or 05. Like it's like men have a really hard time of departing from adolescence. Like it's like studied in like a lot of psychology and male psychologists and like there's all this text about it. And they want to stay in like what they call guy land and like that world. And I guess it's like a for the boys thing, Cometown, and it's like it's just about like, oh, okay, like we can be offensive and shitty and funny and crazy, but like we don't really mean it. Like, haha, we're still liberals. We still love women. We still love everyone. And it's, I don't know. It's like, again, it's a nostalgia thing. It's like about them trying to recreate the feeling of the past.
Yeah, I think there's like positives to like just like changing the way we like cancel people for doing stuff like that or whatever, but like I agree with you for the most part about like all of
I
that.
think
Like
people
I
who should be
yeah.
canceled are murderers and rapists and people who are
Yeah,
bad. Like, I
I
feel like if you
agree.
like made a joke at like 15 or something like that, we shouldn't look at your development like that you're that person right now, you know? Like I think, but we're kind of in like a post cancel culture, right?
I think so. I think that
Yeah.
like to me, like the reason I brought that up is because I think Cometown is and Red Scare are reactions to the like cancel culture movement or whatever. Like it definitely like culturally like
Yeah, it
they're
was a
working off
reaction to like
that.
the extreme liberal leftist values in the arts world in New York. And I think that they were just kind of like hitting the fuck it button and being like, whatever, like we're done, like with the rules and all of that. And then, I mean, like, but like everyone who likes Red Scare are just like hipsters who shopped at American Apparel in 07 and like graduated to Red Scare, you know? Like it's like, that's just like the arc.
No, I
It's
think that. Oh, sorry. Oh.
No,
Wait,
I'm not saying anything. No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just thinking.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I think that, and this is something that we've talked about too, of how like the past like 5 years or so of that, you know, extreme like policing and whatever, like liberal, you know, like all of that felt like. Like at the time, that felt like it was the norm, but it was actually like the counterculture almost, because like the norm is like white, wealthy men being in power, you know? And now we're like kind of seeing a return to that, even just like with like crypto and like Elon and Trump, obviously. And then like that's being branded as like this edgy, like alt, like post-internet thing to be like, oh, like I love Elon Musk and Trump and crypto, but in like a cool way, if that makes
Yeah, like a
sense.
meme kind of thing, and they
Like
don't see
ironic,
that
but it's
it's like
not
the thing.
ironic.
It's like it's but it's as old as time, and I think that like what really upsets me like is when people don't like take a second to like empathize with why a person feels the way that they do about something. Like, okay, if your friend is obsessively posting about social justice or something like that, maybe look at their identity and like what they've experienced, and like it's just stupid to like pretend that none of these like microaggressions or things have existed throughout people's lives, and that they've created viewing the straight white man as an enemy or things like that for a reason, because they saw a reoccurrence of how they were treated or things like that. Like, I don't like that on either side of when there's not like a sense of, okay, like how can I be curious of why that person is reacting that way? Like, okay, it's like very easy that like when it's like a conservative guy who's like angry about feminism is because like he just wants the world to be that white man power utopia, because it makes him feel the most strong. Like, that's what I found to be so powerful about Betsy Brown's movie Actors, because she tapped into that in such a strong way. And I got really pissed off when I found out that like Crumpler was trying to like fucking like censor that movie.
Oh my
Like,
God, the criticism on that was to me, when the first time I watched it, I
that's
was like,
not a
this
transphobic
is
movie at all.
like I felt like this was like such like a needed movie to be made. Obviously, I'm not a trans person, but like I don't think a lot of the criticism even came from trans people. Like, I don't know.
No, for
Yeah.
sure. And like also this like even idea of like the white man cracking at that area of being like, I was the main character in everything, and now I'm in the background, or people don't want me. And like that was a part of the rage and reaction of like the rise of people like Jordan Peterson and Milo and all these type of things, right? So it's like she tapped into something extremely real,
Yeah,
which
for
is
sure.
art, you know? That to me, like, we have like, for me, my favorite art is the things that hold a mirror up to the flaws and issues and things of the world around us. That's what I want to watch. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to create.
Yeah, 100%. I also had like one more question about
Of course.
your book too, because I was curious about like Columbine being so pivotal to that era. And like with that now like happening so often with like school shootings and violence and everything, like do you think that like we're just so desensitized to the point that like we're never gonna go back to like that just like being so impactful?
I don't, I think we are. I think we're so desensitized. I don't think a person can like unlearn that level of numbness. It's sad to say, but I think that the reason that I used Columbine as the background and backdrop of the book is because I saw, you know, with Elliot Rodgers and the Columbiner community on Tumblr, and still like I hear that they make like fan videos on TikTok of like them and like
Like
romanticizing
Dylan or
them and
whatever their
fan
names are,
cam or
yeah.
whatever. What is it called?
Fan
What is it called?
cam?
Fan.
Fan cam, yeah. Or just like edits, like,
Edits, fan edits. So they do that, and I found that in a lot of other Columbine driven media or inspired media that wants to cause a discourse about school shootings, we miss out on the fetishization of fame and power, and how that to me, like, I don't really see the Columbine killers as any different than like, you know, not like influencers, because that's so fucked to say, but like in the way of like seeking validation and power and image. And I saw them as this like prototype of the narcissism of our era, and I wanted to use that as a thing. But I personally really don't believe that people can go back to that place, because we just live in a place where it's like, oh, see beheading video, scroll up, Tate McRae dance video, scroll up. Like, it's like it's this kind of thing of this like numbness.
Yeah.
What do you think the solution is?
Well, maybe I should say my hot tips now.
Okay.
Okay,
Hot
cool.
tips
Okay.
are useful
Okay,
now.
so okay, so here's okay, here's one. If you have okay, so first thing is make okay, turn your iPhones into like a router. Like, leave it in like where your internet router is or in the house, and move everything to desktop. Your WhatsApp, your iMessage, your Instagram. Try to only use things on desktop and not on your phone. Second thing is get a flip phone if you can, and use that just for like, hey, can I meet up, calling, emergency, things like that. And if you can, this is really a privileged place to be, is like, can you, if you can schedule your screen time on a schedule. So like at least like 6 hours, 5 hours of the day offline at the library, reading, writing. And then your like other 3 hours could be, okay, I'm gonna do my emails, I'm gonna do my research, and then I'm gonna log off. Because the biggest problem of this era is there's no logging off and there's no log off button. You are designed to stay logged in into everything. And I think that if you can do that, that's how I try to, I live my life is like by rules of screen time at this time, offline time. And what I've noticed is like such clarity in my brain, incredible creative ideas, present joy, all these things. So it's not the technology that's the problem, it's the compulsivity and the belief that we need to be on it all the time. But if you could like take like fucking 4 hours, 5 hours a day offline, then try to do it.
Yeah, and that you seem normal because of that. Yeah.
Normal.
You seem like way more normal than a lot of the people we're talking to.
Oh my God, maybe because I've gone through my 20s and like so I have like two therapists, so it's
Maybe
like
that's why.
I
That's
have a
probably
lot of
part of
support.
it.
A lot of people want to stay crazy, which is so
Yeah.
annoying.
Yeah.
I
No,
feel like
yeah.
we're forced to stay crazy, like with doing internet jobs right now,
Yeah,
but
I hate it.
one
You
day,
guys like could get to a point where like you like get an intern or someone to like be you online or like to pay to do research or something like that. You know, there are ways out of here.
I'm so bad at like posting and like doing things online. Like, I just hate it so much. Like, it like kills me.
I think if you want to talk about if we have time for like trend forecasting, I think that there will be like well, first off, I think that 2010s references are gonna like be really big next year. Like things like probably even past Tumblr. Like it's gonna be like, and then we're gonna see more of 07, 08, 09 in pop star references. But I think that like
Like, what parts of the 2010s are you saying?
I mean like
Do you have
probably
any
even like
examples?
2015, like we might see like someone pay homage to like Ariana's like cat years or
Oh my
something,
God.
like
Oh my
or the
God.
Spirit
That
Hood,
would kill
the
me.
Spirit Hood youth. What is the thing? The in the Sound of Tell Me video, what is she wearing? Spirit
Oh.
Hood, right?
Oh, I don't remember. What is it called?
It's a
Like,
Spirit Hood, I think.
I just
That so
got a
like so
visual.
those type of aesthetics I think will like probably return.
Dude,
I
you're an
think like
Arianator,
I
low
just like have a lot of knowledge about like because like for me like studying those communities like helps my the way I develop characters and the way I write like it makes me inspired. So it's fun to know. But yeah, I'm so excited for Wicked Part 2. Like my I can't even
dude.
watch the I can't even watch the trailer. Like I'm actually not allowing myself to watch the trailer because I know I'll just be like fucking not like coherent until November.
It was genuinely like crazy for me seeing that in theaters because I was like, oh my God, like she was a girl. She
Yeah.
was a girl and now she's in Wicked.
She
That's
was a girl on
crazy.
Twitter.
She's a girl on Twitter. She was so
Yeah.
fun on Twitter. Oh my God. Like, don't even get me started about how
She's
fun she
actually
was.
posted my she you know that she
Wait.
posted my V Magazine review about the Eternal Sunshine Deluxe. Do you know about
Oh,
that?
wait, literally, like, as soon as you said that, I was like, wait, I've literally seen her, like, post your name before. And, like, I,
Whoa.
like, couldn't eat, like, something in me, like, snapped and, like, made me know that.
Yeah. So she posted and like her fan accounts did, and then she reposted it, and then she liked it. So yeah, and she put the song "Warm" to it. But yeah, that's a few years for you, the Saturn Return thing. So please don't read it. Like you leave it. Like I don't want you to be thinking about Saturn Return craziness. But yeah, definitely. I definitely think that like any other tips, I have a landline. I know that's lame.
No, that's cute though.
That's
Like,
cute. Is it
yeah,
like
I like
corded or is
that.
it like not
It's
corded?
it's wireless.
Okay.
So like to buzz to get into my building, I have to use a landline or like for Uber Eats and things like that. It's just like the landline. But also I have call forwarding too. Like because I don't want people to have my flip phone number. So like I give them my house phone number and then I make them call it so that it call forwards to my flip phone.
That's awesome. Like, so you just can't be reached.
I mean, that's like the kind of goal, but like definitely for like work and stuff, like on iMessage, like and it's so crazy. Like I find that like I enjoy like chatting more online when I'm away from it. I'm like, oh cool, like I actually feel dopamine again. Like like definitely
No,
that
because
was
sometimes
fun.
it does just feel like all these people messaging me, needing me to answer, and like I have to just like get to it like it's a chore, and that like sucks. Like, I hate
And
feeling
it
that way just in
also,
any communication.
that's not normal. Like the fact that like you're just supposed to like reply to people. Like people can reach you at any point. Like that's not normal.
Yeah, like Maddie Healy and I like had very like tumultuous, like not tumultuous, but like our way of communicating was like very, I'm like, I don't, I'm like, I make Peter talk to him for me now. Like we speak through other people now because it's just like two people going off of a cliff with
That
each
like
other.
triangle, like really, like that image,
Yeah.
that triangle is like really painful to me of like Maddie
Yeah.
Healy, Peter, and you. Like that really hurts
Of
to
Peter being like the
I
connector.
know.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, definitely. And it's honestly more healthy for me. And like, I love him like as an artist, and
Yeah.
his the 1975 really inspired the letters in the book. And the way that Brad and Aurora would talk to each other in like a hyper romantic way. So no, I definitely respect him as an artist. But yeah, no, definitely like, because it's like, it's just like, yeah, because he hates his phone and he hates technology too. So it's like, yeah, it's like a ping pong game.
Yeah,
Like,
he's
I'm,
been doing that
yeah.
stuff since like he's been hating technology forever. Like
Yeah.
literally, he's
Yeah.
like maybe the first guy to hate technology.
I love that, Matt. Like
That's
that's what he
awesome.
should, that's what
Yeah.
he should be known as. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But like I was gonna say something else. Oh, him, like he's so interesting to me because I'm like, I would love to talk about how like I wanna talk to him so bad because I feel like his like him being hated online to me is so interesting because like I'm like I feel like everyone just has misunderstood him like for so
Oh,
long.
a
For
hundred
sure,
percent, a
yeah.
hundred percent. He's super
Like when he was
deeply.
getting canceled for being
Well,
racist too, I was just like, guys, what
also
is
just
happening right
like the
now?
lore is like insane, like knowing him from like Tumblr the 1975, knowing him from when he was dating Halsey to then
Yeah.
like dating Taylor Swift
Well,
and
do
then
we
getting
know? Like, was it
canceled.
confirmed that they were dating? Like, it, like her and Halsey? Like, it was like, it's
I
just
think
like,
because Badlands is about, or some of Badlands is
well, we
about him.
think, right? We
Yeah, we
color
think,
into
but like colors,
that.
yeah. I've, yeah, but no, but like to then him dating Taylor Swift and like
Yeah, the
getting
Taylor Swift
canceled,
stuff
like
is so funny.
it's just
Dude, the
like an
Taylor Swift
insane
fans
thing.
going after him, like insane. Like just
Yeah, no,
insane.
I definitely think
Wild.
he handled that scenario with a lot of grace and calmness. And I think that yeah, he posted New Millennium Boys, which really helped me. So like I
Yeah.
give him all the love and light for that because
Yeah.
like I was gonna say something controversial, but like I feel like you guys would actually understand it if I say it. But
Say
I
it.
feel like honestly, like in these kind of like artistic circles, like when a lot of people have power and they're like interacting with you and they're like kind of not helping with you, like I would rather just not have them in the picture, you know, because of how like frustrating it is. Because I feel like when I feel like people should help people, you know, and if you
Yeah.
believe like you hear so many stories of like people being snubbed or being like, oh, I go to dinner with that person, but they like never really helped out when they could. And I think that if you can help out, help. Like, you know,
Yeah, no, I
like,
totally agree. No, I
okay. Maybe
agree.
that's more human than I
Yeah, I
thought.
don't think that's
Yeah.
controversial. I don't know
No,
why.
I think that also was like a big part of like the appeal to Charli XCX too. 'Cause like I feel like in every interview like I've done of people talking about her, they're like, she's like such a girl's, like she like has helped like so many people. Like she's such a girl's girl. And that's like also just like the vibe you get from her, I feel like.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like she's definitely an interesting character. I haven't talked to her since I was like 22 or like a long time because her email got hacked and I didn't have social media, so like there was no way for us to like relink. But maybe we'll relink. But yeah, no,
Yeah.
definitely.
But thank you so much for coming on. This is such a fun
Yeah.
episode.
Oh,
This was
thank you
really
so much for having me,
fun.
and thank you so much for like being your selves and trusting your instincts of starting the internet is dead because it's
Stop.
dead. Would you guys ever write
Thank
like a
you.
book of like essays?
Oh my God. I
Yeah.
have like a draft of a novel.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, I just don't. I need to fix it and change. But it's not about the internet. It's like about like a breakup.
Oh,
I have essays
that's
about like
good.
Philadelphia that I
What?
feel
What'd you say?
like just like essays about Philadelphia, like where
Yeah.
like we lived,
That's
like
cool.
that I
You know
think
who
would be
lives in
funny.
Philadelphia right now? The porn star Asa Akira. I met her at the
Oh,
Pornhub
didn't know
Awards.
that.
Oh.
Didn't know that, but cool, good to know.
Cool.
We also have like one last thing for
Of
you to do.
course.
I don't know if you've seen our episodes before, but we have everyone say something.
Okay.
We have everyone say a thing. We're gonna send it in the chat. We're just trying to get this guy on who we really want on. So we
Okay,
have everyone
let's see.
request him at the end of the
Yeah. Oh my
episode.
God.
Me paste.
Okay, wait, so what do I need to say? I, Alex Kazemi, hereby request Josh Oval for collaboration with the Internet is Dead Pause. dead podcast. Please draw us to be a guest on the podcast. We miss you. Who's Josh?
He's an internet guy who used to be really
He was like a
awesome.
viner.
He used to question everyone's realities, and now he's not on the internet anymore. And he hasn't done a podcast in like
Okay,
10,000
well, we need him
years.
to come back.
Yeah, literally.
We need Josh to come save you guys. F the internet? Like, fully?
He's like, okay, his Instagram is like Film Quaker. He was in a movie, he was in Eugene's
He was in The
movie.
Code for
He's
like
in
2 seconds.
Spree and The Code for 2 seconds.
Then abuse
But
Eugene to get the contact.
dude
Oh,
tried. He was
tried,
like,
didn't work.
I don't want to do anything extra other than come on this
Yeah.
podcast.
Oh, what a
But
so annoying.
if
I'm
we
just like,
run
I
into
can't with
Eugene,
it.
if we run into Eugene like sometime, I feel like we can milk him. Milk, like
Try to,
we can pull it
try
out of
to
him.
figure it out.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, we'll talk off Zoom. I
Okay.
mean, well,
Yeah.
that's actually a very like beautiful NMB way to finish the pod when the cameras are off.
Yeah.